Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished health professional, Dr. Catherine Gottlieb. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Catherine is currently in Hawaii. She is the former president and CEO of the South Central Foundation in Alaska, USA. She's a faculty member of Harvard Medical School. She has had two honorary doctorates, and she's been awarded and recognized several times. So, Catherine, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Of my career?
Mm-hmm.
So, I was wondering if you were asking me of my life, and I was
either. The choice is yours.
All right. So I think keystones is having a family.
Mm-hmm.
We have 6 children. Mm-hmm. And 31 grandchildren.
Wow.
And 7 great-grandchildren.
Incredible.
So that is a wonderful part of my journey of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so working for Alaska Native people, I'm Filipino. Mm-hmm. And I'm Supiak.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing to live in Alaska was a really good choice.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was in Alaska, I wanted to work for the Alaska Native people. So that was a big choice.
Mm-hmm.
If I had at one point in my life, a crossroad of decision making, and it would have been working for the state.
Mm-hmm.
And probably would have let me go into a different direction of maybe a political world.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than working for the Alaska Native people. So that was another place that was a really good choice of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, which I think is the most important, is I live by my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe, and it's a ground roots for how I make choices and where I go in life. And I think if I didn't make a real strong choice to believe the way I believe and mm-hmm. make it part of the roots of my life and foundation, mm-hmm. I don't know what direction, again, I would have chosen.
Amazing. I wonder, as you are telling me, I wonder what would the world of medicine would have lost had you taken politics, you know, so. Okay, so Catherine, let's talk about the South Central Foundation. This is in Alaska. Tell me about this organization and what it does.
Okay, so South Central Foundation, I want to preface my statements by saying they have what we have established as the NUCA system of care.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a NUCA Institute where if anyone's interested, they can give a call and connect and find out the details of mm-hmm. what happened. And how things are ran day-to-day management, and how, as I talk about the big, wide overview of the picture of South Central Foundation, they can go and connect and get more information from that website or from the people that are currently running mm-hmm. the organization.
I'm sure.
But it is an Alaska Native, tribally owned healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be under the operation of the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
But because of a law of the Indian Self-Determination Act of 1975,
mm-hmm.
it allows for tribes and tribal organizations across the United States of America
mm-hmm.
to assume the role mm-hmm. of management of their own healthcare systems for the people that they serve.
Mm-hmm.
So at South Central Foundation, under the tribal authority of Cook Inlet region,
mm-hmm.
We assumed our own healthcare management and for our region. And I'm from this region.
Okay.
So of Cook Inlet region. I am a shareholder. I'm a tribal person and tribal member mm-hmm. of this region. So when I say we, or I'm actually owning it
okay.
and saying it for myself as well as for our people.
Terrific. So tell me a little bit about the region and the people. You mentioned you're also Filipino.
Yes. So my father is he was Filipino and my mother Supiak, and Supiak means she's a Lutik. She was a Lutik and from Old Harbor, Kodiak Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Alaska Native part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So in our region in Alaska, mm-hmm. the people that we serve are Alaska Native and they're American Indian.
Okay.
So anybody who has any kind of descent from an Alaska Native tribe or tribal organization, mm-hmm. or actually from a tribe, you have to be from a tribe.
Okay.
You can receive services from us. And mm-hmm. also if you're Alaska Native, I mean, American Indian mm-hmm. from the lower 48. In Alaska, we say everybody else is from lower 48 if you haven't come from Alaska.
Okay.
So people say, wow, lower 48. Yep, mm-hmm. from down there.
Wonderful, wonderful. So coming back to the foundation again, Catherine, when I was reading about it, it says you serve 65,000 Alaskan natives.
Yes.
Are there any specific health challenges that are unique to Alaskan natives, which is why you have a separate hospital?
No, there's nothing unique mm-hmm. to, and that's not the reason why we have a separate healthcare system.
Okay.
The reason we do is because of trust and treaty agreements that we made with the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And through those trust and treaty agreements, we have an allocation of funding mm-hmm. for education and health.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where our funding comes from to establish healthcare specific for Alaska Native people.
Okay.
So in our design, or after we assumed the role from the federal government
mm-hmm.
and they had provided services to our Alaska Native American Indian people, we were able to redesign
mm-hmm.
our healthcare system, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was trying to describe what that means, it's if anyone who is listening to us right now,
mm-hmm.
including you,
mm-hmm.
if you, and you, I would be afraid to tell you this. If you were around my world, you would do it
mm-hmm.
because I've heard about or listened to your mm-hmm. podcast and I've learned of what you've done. It was mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have done the same thing. If in your land, in your world, mm-hmm. the federal government said you could take all the money,
okay,
every penny that's mm-hmm. allocated to provide healthcare for your people, mm-hmm. your people.
Wonderful.
And do and provide it any way you want to that you seem best. Go ahead and do it.
Fantastic.
And you want to do it. And that's what we did. We were able to do that in the entire state of Alaska, not just our region, not just South Central, but every tribe in Alaska chose to do it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So, again, we won't get into the American Indians and the American citizens and so on and so forth. But before you set up the SCF, what were the health facilities available to the American Indians in Alaska?
So it was run by the federal government.
Uh-huh.
And the flavor of it was very bureaucratic.
Mm-hmm.
And much of the reason is because there was a finite amount of money allocated to Alaska to mm-hmm. serve all of our population.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the decisions that were made, that were major decisions, had to go all the way back to Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
where in that area, the East Coast side, to actually it was in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
where the headquarters of Indian Health Service resided. So if there was any major decisions on healthcare that was going to impact us in Alaska
mm-hmm.
and any changes in the healthcare system was going to happen, all those decisions had to be made back there, the big ones,
mm-hmm.
before they were implemented in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about small kind of day-to-day management kind of hospital decisions that are made regularly, but
right.
the major big ones absolutely had, it took a long time.
Amazing. Amazing. So, now, question for you is, when you were growing up, what made you choose medicine as an area of specialization?
That's a real interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was real specific on looking at working in a hospital system
mm-hmm.
or in providing in that way,
mm-hmm.
although I was always a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a sibling of 12. I was the fourth oldest.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the older siblings who took care of the younger siblings. Mm-hmm. And then my first job as a young person was working for a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing his billing, and I was doing his notes, transferring his notes. And I found that all doctors do not know how to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn how to read okay. their handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can read anyone's handwriting. I don't know. I don't care where they're from.
Okay.
And so that was my first job. And then later on, I had a lot of different other jobs, but I also worked for our tribe. And the first job I had in our for our tribe in our small village was a community health aide.
Mm-hmm.
And in that job, it was an allocation of resources to be a community provider.
Mm-hmm.
And my supervisor said, do anything you want
okay.
with your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did.
Okay.
So I would go put gravel on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I would go get gravel from the beach in my truck
okay.
and put gravel on the sidewalk so an elder wouldn't fall when they came out of their house.
Wow. Okay.
And I would go to an elder's house. I loved working with elders, so I just mm-hmm. decided I'd make it an elder program.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to an elder's house. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you get older, before you get older, your house might have been immaculate and you had everything in place. Your teacup was where it was supposed to be. You could reach for it. But as you got older, you were not able to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go visit an elder who couldn't climb or get up on a stair or didn't okay. dare, or they might break something.
Mm-hmm.
I would climb up and do their dusting where wow. they couldn't dust.
Amazing.
And then I would sit and have tea.
Mm.
And what I learned was to sit at the feet of elders and listen and learn. And so I began learning and listening at a young age from the elders of what is important and what to look forward to and how to pay attention in life. And yes. so then when we all moved to Anchorage in the city, I was really looking for work just to provide for the family. And the job that came open was South Central Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I went to work. And
amazing. You know, as you were telling me about your respect for elders and learning from elders, you know, I could relate with it so strongly. And I was thinking it's probably the second half of your American Indian, which was resonating with me, because in India, we are taught that, you know, nothing is more important than sitting at the feet of elders.
Yes.
You know, that's fantastic. And
on both my cultures is the same thing.
Correct.
Honor your elders on the Filipino side. You must Absolutely. Honor your elders on the Filipino and honor your elders on the Supiak side.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very. So it's nothing like, you know, if you see from a lot of American friends, the moment my child is 16, time to go and find yourself a new home, you know, so, okay. Okay. So, you know, Catherine, now moving on to when you were running SCF, what yeah. were some of your key challenges as you built and managed such an amazing facility?
It was putting... It was trying to find out how to change a system mm-hmm. that was so tied to the government and the way the government was thinking,
mm-hmm.
and then try to change the attitudes of ourselves mm-hmm. as people
okay.
who were going to begin managing it. And that included myself and my board of directors
mm-hmm.
and then the people that we were going to serve.
Hmm.
So changing the attitude was very hard, because when for all of us who were going to the hospital, it was okay. If we're going to the hospital, it means we're going to die.
Hmm.
Oh, you're going to the hospital. It's time to say goodbye to you.
Okay.
You must be going because, you know, this time to die.
Hmm.
Well, that was a big attitude change we had to climb over.
Hmm.
And then the other thing was, I don't want to go to that hospital. Hmm. There's the last place I wanted go is to the hospital because I don't want to go in the door. I don't like how it smells. I don't feel good when I'm in the door. I don't feel like I'm treated with respect. There was all these feelings of trepidation before even walking in the door. Amen. So it was changing the attitudes of ourselves inside of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And then looking at this huge system that was a potential of assuming the management and ownership of it. Mm. It's like, well, the question was, could we really do it?
Mm-hmm.
We had to ask ourselves that.
Mm.
And would people trust us to do it?
Mm.
Because that would be just like, always tell people, you know, would you, if you're in, from your country, would you trust your auntie and your uncle and your grandma to take over your healthcare system and manage it? Just say yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And so it would be hard, you know, and so that would mean people would have to trust us because we would be owning and managing it. And we would be saying, well, don't worry, we're going to be taking care of your decisions for life and death.
Mm.
And we could do better than the government.
Sure.
So trust us.
Very well said.
So that was biggest giant challenge is changing attitude, shifting from where we're at and being ready and even ourselves having the confidence.
Mm.
We have the confidence to do it.
Mm.
So that was happening with us as people and in the system that for the organization of SCF. And we were tiny.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money and we didn't have any employees. So it was like, okay, and then how are we going to do this?
Fantastic. Fantastic. So one more question for you related to healthcare, and then I'll move to the next segment. You know, tell me about the NUCA system of care. What is it?
Okay. So it's a system where the redesign of what happened was getting the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So having people own the system, as I told you, it was our own inside of us.
Correct.
Had to get the sense of being able to have a voice in healthcare system and changing it. So the NUCA system of care includes having people who, the people that are getting the services, to be able to have voice for direction of the path and the decisions that are made in how the healthcare delivery system works.
Okay.
I think that's how it should be all over the world.
Mm.
I think healthcare systems should start with the people, period.
Correct.
I think if I'm living in Hawaii, I'm not living in Hawaii, but I mean, if I was living in Hawaii, I'm visiting Hawaii right now. And if I was changing this healthcare system, and I'm living here, I should have a say. I'm now part of the system of healthcare, and I should be able to walk in the door and say, I really like this system that you put together, or I would like to make a suggestion about this system to change it.
Amazing.
So that was the first thing. We asked everybody what they thought.
Okay.
And we also did education, lots of education. Learning about the healthcare system and bringing people together that were experts to know what is the best way to deliver care.
Mm.
So listening to all the people, hearing what they have to say, and then coming up with a plan to design the program in the way that would be delivered to the people.
Mm.
So instead of thinking we're going to the hospital to die, we're going to go to the hospital to get well.
Mm.
So NUCA system of care is learning and implementing healthcare system from the people first and not from a bureaucracy on the top down, from building up within and engaging the community. It's not about listening only.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring people, over 55% of our population or employees were Alaska Native American Indian people.
Okay.
And that was by the law, we could do that, not discriminating. By the law, we could hire our own indigenous people. And that's all across Alaska, all across the United States. So we implement and make sure it's happening.
Incredible.
And then, so if you've got the people living and working and serving, you're listening to people that are wanting delivery of care, then you implement it. We did it. So we heard the people. And this is all public knowledge of everybody wanted their own doctor. wanted to have a choice of a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So we made that happen. We watched how the world was changing and the implementation of different ideas, snagged some ideas from everyone and put pieces together mm-hmm. so that we could have a same day access. So if you would call a doctor or get your own doctor and then call that doctor, you should be able to get in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the NUCA system of care. And then constantly asking how to improve, putting in data systems so we could watch and measure everything that we're doing, paying attention that it's not, you know, when you get funding and you're looking at people who are going to continue that funding stream, no matter if we had a baseline of funding or not, which we mm-hmm. did, we still had to show that we're doing well, that outcomes were good, health outcomes
mm-hmm.
were good. So we measured everything.
Fantastic.
And have data to prove whatever we're doing is making a difference in people's lives.
Fantastic.
So, and there always is, I love data. I love research. I love finding out. I love evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it too. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, that's so much work. You know, why can't you just believe me when I say you're doing really well and all the people are healthy? Absolutely. You mean you want data to back that up and prove it? Okay. So then you have to put all the funding behind that. You have to strengthen your infrastructure. You have to put the tools together so that people can get together. So it's a system infrastructure that works to get the data to prove to the population we're making difference. But then now bring it back to where I started.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the community know
mm-hmm.
that they're getting good healthcare?
Mm-hmm.
It's because we still ask them. Do you like what you're getting?
Mm-hmm.
Is the provision done well?
Mm-hmm.
And here's your statistics of what it looks like for you as a population.
Okay.
And how can we improve what we're doing now?
Mm-hmm.
And then keep improving, keep changing, keep moving. And I'm hoping that continues as the next crop of leaders come up and they continue that process of improvement and continue that keeping the community involved, not just by talking, but involving them, hiring them,
mm-hmm.
placing them in high-level jobs and helping them to drive the system and keep feeding back.
Fantastic.
Listening and feeding back, turning it and turning it. And I think if I left and if I was to work in Hawaii and they asked me to redesign their healthcare system, I would do almost everything the same. I'd begin just asking the population, what is it you like? What do you don't you like? And tell me what you want to see that's not here. And let's see if we have the funding and ability to do it. And then I'm going to tell you why we can do it or why we cannot do it. And if it's about funding, I'm going to say to the community, help me go get it.
Okay. Very well said. Very, very well said. So, Catherine, I've got time for one more question for you. And I was debating what to ask you. But, you know, as you look back at life, so many successes, so many achievements, so many laurels. From where you stand today, what does success mean to Catherine?
When my great-grandchildren, when my great-grandchild stands up as a adult and is well spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and stands tall and strong, proud of who he or she is, and says, wow, when my great-grandma was alive, she wasn't as strong and healthy and have as much as what we have now, but through the legacy of she and our ancestors, look where we are at today. And then for it to be passed on for that generation on and to go forward. I would love that.
Fantastic. Catherine, thank you so much. You know, I just loved your definition of success, though looking at you and the fact that you already have six great-grandchildren, you probably have to redefine it to say when my great-great-grandchild stands up and says that my great-great-grandmother did this, that is what. So, but thank you again so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.